Welcome to the Global Business Women's Pod, hosted by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am Susan Dyson and extremely excited to be your podcast host. In my day job, I am proud to be the CEO, president, and founder of the Chamber. Every Thursday at 6 p.m., we will bring you inspiring stories of women who are leading in the advancement of women and girls. We will take you with us to our premier events. You will meet entrepreneurs, executives, and philanthropists who will empower and inspire you to succeed. So please mark your calendars and join us for the Empowering Global Business Women's Pod, Thursday at 6 p.m.
It's my pleasure to introduce Ann Corley Baum. Ann's the market president of Capital Blue Cross in the Lehigh Valley market, and as the largest healthcare brand in the country, she oversees sales, strategic planning, partnership development, and corporate giving, just to name a few of her responsibilities. One of Ann's many passions is leadership development, so she formed an organization, Vision Accomplished, that provides just that, leadership development. Ann also serves on many boards and executive committees, and if that wasn't enough, she's also the author of two books that I have here with me, Small Mistakes, Big Consequences, Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed, and Small Mistakes, Big Consequences for Interviews, which she'll talk about today. So please welcome the fabulous Ann Corley Baum.
Hello.
So Ann, what inspired you to write the Small Mistakes, Big Consequences series?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Heather. The reason I decided to write the book series is I've come to a point in my career where I'm not going to say old, I'm wise, right? So at some point you need to start sharing the knowledge you gain along the way back with others. And I wanted to do it in a way that was really easy for people to use. So with a little bit of humor and some lessons that I've learned along the way, I put together this book series and really did it so that people could see small mistakes that they make that can really get in the way of their success, but they're the things that people generally will not tell you about. And pointing these out and learning these things and really taking the time to keep them out of your way can build your road to success.
Absolutely. So there's more books in the pipeline. So, you know, tell us about the two that have been published and what you also have coming up.
I'll be happy to do that. The first one is the soft skills book, and it basically looks at behavior across the board and helps to focus on those behaviors that get in your way. I then took the same concept and focused on interviews, which is especially helpful right now as people are moving to different careers, trying to figure out how to interview online. And the next one that I'm really excited about is focused on video and conference calls. And with all of our Zoom and Teams and GoToMeetings, I figured that was an important topic to take on going into the future.
Absolutely. So I couldn't get these books fast enough. So I have a lot of questions for you about the different experiences you've had. So what are some of the personality types that you inevitably encounter on your way to success? And what are the best practices to respond to those?
One of the things that I often find myself doing or come across with others is what I call the transmitter, the person who's always talking and they're always interrupting. And the idea is forming, coming out of their mouth as it's forming in their brain. And the challenge of that person is they forget to listen to learn and listen to hear. And it's incredibly important that we as individuals and leaders give people the courtesy and respect to actually listen to what they are saying, listen to learn from them, and not just listen to answer and show how smart we are or how much we know, because often you end up answering the wrong question or talking over someone or interrupting. And it leaves the other person not feeling really good about you, and it starts the relationship or continues a relationship on a bad foot. So that's a huge one. Take the time to listen. Be quiet. I know if you're an extrovert like I am, sometimes that's really, really hard to do, but it's so important because it shows respect to the other person with whom you're dealing.
So you're kind of touching a little bit on one of my next questions as you think about, you know, listening to people. What are some of the mistakes that can derail a relationship in the workplace?
There are a few key characteristics that are incredibly important in building relationships in the workplace. First of all, trying to understand that other person from their frame of reference. Try not to label them and evaluate them based upon your assumptions, and really taking the time to get to know them. And it's always incredibly important that you operate with integrity. Be honest with other people, have those open, honest, often difficult discussions. When you do that and people see that you're operating with integrity, integrity is what you do that builds trust in others. And once you have cemented trust from one of your colleagues, there is so much that you can accomplish together. That foundation built on your integrity and somebody else having that trust in you can really speed up your ability to achieve results, your ability to interact, your ability to work through difficult situations. So those are some of the key ones, plus listening, which that is huge. You have to listen to other people and really learn from them.
I love that. So, I mean, in thinking about that, the majority of employees are still working remotely and eventually will return to the office. So what advice would you offer to empower your team members for greater success and to be perceived as sincere and trustworthy in this virtual environment?
The virtual environment, from my perspective, offers a great deal of opportunity for us as leaders. You can get in front of people and engage with people so much more easily than you had in the past when you had to drive and schedule meetings. But you have to do it. And you have to lead your team members and show them the path forward. Be transparent, be open, be honest. I have found that our team members, the more we schedule time to get together, the more excited they are about that. But it's not getting together for me to tell them what to do. It's us getting together to share the challenges that we're facing and figuring out together how we can support one another. And I will, to be perfectly honest, when we first started into the pandemic, my thought was, oops, I got to get on the phone with certain people every day. I've got to monitor everything they're doing. And that was just exactly the wrong thing to do, because what we needed to do was figure out what the results we needed to achieve, make a plan, and then let them run with it and have them come back when they needed that help, that support, get together regularly to update on progress. But they didn't need to be micromanaged. And I have seen my team blossom during this pandemic time, which I know many of my colleagues on our team were worried about it. They were thinking, how can people be productive during this time? And I really found you empower them. You tell them the results we're trying to achieve, set them free, and they will produce. Empowerment is truly empowering, and it helps your organization be better and stronger.
So you're touching on something really important. Why is this important, you know, in developing a corporate culture, whether leading your own company, managing staff, working for large to medium-sized corporations, or even being the CEO or other C-suite executives?
The culture starts with you. And you can't expect your team members, well, I should say, if you don't create the culture, that culture will be created by the other members of the team. And setting high expectations for your team members and then giving them the power to succeed is really important. Trusting them, letting them know that it's okay to make a mistake as long as we learn from the mistake. Giving them the training that they need to grow, develop, and complete and achieve those results that we're all working toward. And then being their coach, their advocate, having their back. When you're empowering your team, you're still ultimately responsible and you have to have their back. You can't just immediately pull empowerment away when somebody makes that mistake, because then empowerment is over. They won't trust you anymore. You killed it. And that is critical to building that culture. And when you start building that culture of trust, integrity, the safe zone to make mistakes, then that permeates throughout the organization. And those that don't like that, they tend to leave. They go away. But you can't let the culture slip. And you can't let it slip for that person who's really, really smart, but you have to preserve it and work on it daily. And you have to walk the walk, talk the talk. And if you make a mistake, you're the first person that needs to admit it, bring that to the team, and show them how you, too, are on that same page with them and that you're learning from those mistakes.
I love that. So one of the things that your book talks a lot about, mistakes and the consequences of those. So talk a little bit about what are some of the mistakes and consequences that are made most often on the way to the top, on the way to the C-suite? How can you avoid those?
One of the things that's really important is to think so much about how others are receiving you. That perception is their reality. And you need to demonstrate to them, even when you're not 100% sure, even when you're shaking inside and nervous, that you've got a plan and you're bringing them along as part of that plan and leading them. And you have to have that courage to take a risk and step out and lead people. And little mistakes that can happen along the way are the way you deal with things. So let's say an issue comes to the table and you're not doing anything about it. I'll tell you, the first person who knows they're not performing on a team is the person themselves. The next people who know are every other person that work with them. The last person to know is you as the leader. And all of those other people are watching you, wondering why you aren't doing anything about this thing that you really should know about. Because so many people think that as leaders, we are all knowing. They think we know everything about every person. And of course, we know that that's not true. But as soon as you're finding out about an issue, a problem, you've got to get on it. You've got to dig to the bottom of it, find what the ultimate problem is, and then move forward together with your team. Because when you don't do that, it eats away at the culture. And the first people you lose are your top performers. The last people you lose are the poor performers that caused the problem in the first place.
Yeah, I totally agree. So talk us through, like, how does soft skills play a role in helping you avoid those mistakes in the first place? Because I think that that's a key part of, you're talking about dealing with these challenges. How does soft skills play a role in that?
Well, if you think about people interacting with one another, they are making all sorts of assumptions about us based on our body language, second, our facial expressions and our tone of voice. And then only after they're making all these assumptions. Are they actually listening to the words that we use? So it's incredibly important to think about how, what is that message you're sending with your body language, with your facial expression? Are you saying, I think that's a great idea? Well, what's my body language saying? My body language is saying it's a horrible idea. My tone of voice is saying it's a horrible idea. We've got to be very intent and intentional about the way we're interacting, making great eye contact with people when you're listening to them, thinking about how your tone of voice is being received by the other person. And that's your tone of voice, your actual tone of voice, but also the tone you use in your e-communication, in text messages, in emails. Are you typing an email that's all capital letters? Well, if I get one of those, I feel like someone's yelling at me. You might just like all capital letters, but think about how, put yourself in the other person's shoes. And as you do that, one, you'll understand people better. And two, they will continue to build that trust in you as their coach, their advisor, their leader, and their teammate. So thinking really hard about those soft skills and how you're delivering your best self to someone else will help them receive you more like you intend to be received.
Yeah, I love that. So what you're really talking about is the fact that perception is reality, which I think sometimes people forget, that you have to think about how other people are perceiving you. So how can leaders utilize that perception is reality mindset to kind of gain advantage on the one-to-one day-to-day basis so that they can present their most professional self and help others kind of take accountability for their actions?
Well, I love that you said perception is reality because it is. It's not fair. It is something that every one of us does. It's instantaneous. It's subconscious. Yet it fuels how we receive anybody that we interact with. So knowing that someone is going to immediately make assumptions about you, it's important to think about what you're wearing, how you carry yourself. Are you walking in a room with confidence? Is your screen turning on with you fixing your hair and putting your lipstick on? Or is your screen turning on with you standing with confidence and a smile on your face? Because when we present ourselves as we want to be received, we send a message that says, oh, that's a leader. That's somebody who's confident, somebody that I can trust. And then everything that you say after that point, when you've made that great first impression, or you regularly are making that solid impression, people listen to you in that context. So as we're interacting with others, particularly on the screen, think about what's around you, what's behind you. How do you look on that screen? What is somebody going to assume about you? I'll tell you a funny story. I was on a Zoom call and there was a professor from a college that was on with us. And she moved away from the screen. And here behind her was this bar with all these bottles and they were like empty wine bottles. And I'm sure she didn't think about it all, but it immediately sent this impression of this woman who was just happened to have a party and then snuck away and went on the Zoom call. So think about how your surroundings, how your voice, your sound is presenting you. And then use those skills to your advantage, because when you start with a great first impression, you can build upon it. You start with a negative first impression. Now you've got to climb back up from there, and it makes everything more difficult when you start low. So start high and grow.
I love that advice. Thank you so much. Well, I just wanted to share, you know, there was a little bit of tips for everybody in this, and we're excited to have had you join us. Your books are available through the Blue Willow Bookshop, which you can find on the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce website. So get your copies today. You will not be sorry. There's some great advice for everyone. Thank you so much, Anne, for joining us.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for watching the Global Business Women's Pod, brought to you by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. We cannot wait to see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. And remember, you can always find us at ghwcc.org.